Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear the words of our Old Testament lesson again, Exodus chapter 12. I'll read verse 23, though we'll consider the entire text. When the Lord passes through to strike Egypt and sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. This is the word of our God. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, something significant was going to happen on this night. Something very significant. The Lord himself was going to visit Egypt. Now, the Lord had visited Egypt 9 times prior to this in the previous 9 plagues. And yet nothing would be quite like this one. This one would bring the presence of the Lord himself, the destroyer, the angel of death to come down. The Lord himself will come to visit Egypt. It's terrifying, isn't it? To think of the presence of the Lord God coming with his righteous judgment, coming with death. What's going to save you from such a visit like that? What will protect you from anything like that when God comes to visit? Who can protect you from such a great visit as God himself coming in holiness, coming in righteousness to destroy, to kill, to strike down? For there was not a house where there was not someone dead, we read. Where could we go? What could we do? If God determines that we will be struck down, who or what will prevent us but from being struck down? Only God himself can deliver from that. Only God can deliver from his judgment. And thanks be to God. Tonight we see. Tonight we remember. And tonight we rejoice in the blessed word that God gives to us as he instructs us how he has delivered us. He himself has delivered us from his righteous judgment. By his grace, he passes over us. And by the blood of the Lamb, he spares us from death. God gave some very specific instructions to Moses and Aaron here in this 10th plague when God was finally going to visit himself, that land of Egypt. At the beginning, of course, God had visited Egypt 10 times, and those plagues had fallen upon the land, and in some cases they even fell upon those Israelites too who were living in the land of Goshen. In fact, in the first 3 plagues, it says nothing about the fact that God spared Israel too. God came to visit, and they felt that power of God as that Nile River was turned to blood, as frogs came up and covered the land, and as lice filled the homes in Egypt. Israel suffered too. It wasn't until the 4th plague, that plague of flies, where it specifically distinguishes Israel and the land of Goshen from the visitation of God. But here finally in this 10th plague, God says, this will cover every home, every house. I will pass over. I will pass through the land of Egypt. I am going to visit Egypt myself. God gave instructions to Moses and Aaron. That's how chapter 12 begins. Moses and Aaron went to the people, gathered together the elders, the heads of each household, and gave specific instructions about what God had planned when he came to visit all of those houses in Egypt. But the instructions that he gave Moses and Aaron were not about death for those people. It was about deliverance from death for those people. He spoke to Moses and Aaron, and he said, this is what I want you to do. And we see God's gracious hand. We see God's hand of grace in preparing a perfect plan when he comes to visit in his righteous judgment to deliver his people Israel, not from the hand of Egypt, but from death itself. God gave them instructions. I want you to take a lamb. This is the Passover lamb, he said. I want you to slaughter it and take the blood from that lamb and paint it on the door frames and on the lintels, that is, the crossbeam of each home. And then when you do, you stay inside that home. You stay there. Do not pass through that door. And then you will be safe. And then what are you supposed to say to your children when they ask you, what is this all about? You say to them, it is the sacrifice of the Passover to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. When he struck the Egyptians, he spared our houses. What does this word Passover mean? Literally, it's a word that means to leap or to hop. It's used in two different ways in the Old Testament. In one, here in this context, to pass over, where God passes over those homes. He does not strike them with death, as he does for the rest of the homes. In another context, he uses it to describe the condition that a young man named Mephibosheth had. Perhaps you remember Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. He was crippled, this word Passover, pasuk, as he hobbled along in his condition. The other time that this word is used is by Elijah the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 18. And there he uses this word to describe Israel in the way that they hopped back and forth or stumbled like on crutches between two opinions. Are you going to worship the Lord? Or are you going to worship Baal? And our EHV translation says, how long will you stagger around on two crutches? This word Passover. The Passover was what God gave Israel to celebrate. Could it be that the Israelites on this special occasion were to picture that God would make himself lame, to be limp, to not use his power as the destroyer, as the angel of death, to destroy the firstborn of that Israelite house? That God would stagger or limp past them in weakness and in humility instead of the strength of his almighty power to strike them down in his righteous judgment. By his divine authority, by his almighty power, could it be that God was pictured for them in this Passover meal, even by the very name of it itself, the idea of God coming to them in weakness, in humility. By his grace, God passed over the Israelite homes. In mercy, he spared them. This is the context into which Jesus chose to give us this most blessed meal that we're here gathered to celebrate this evening, the Lord's Supper. And there's no doubt about it that this is what God intends for us to see in him tonight too. In this meal, God became flesh for you. He condescended to you, taking on your humanity, where he gives you his own body and blood in the bread and wine, so that by his grace, in his mercy for you, grace, his own judgment, his righteous judgment would not fall upon you. No, instead he made himself weak. Instead he wounded himself. Yes, he even killed. He crushed. He struck down himself. Destroyed on the cross by the righteous judgment of the Almighty God, the Lord of heaven and earth, for you. There, friend, by the grace of God, the Lord delivers you, passes over you in weakness, in humility. He does not punish you for your sins, but instead lifts you up and exalts you to the holiness that he has as he joins himself with you. What grace. Where did all of this plan come from? This exit from Egypt, the arrival to the promised land. Was this an idea that Israel had? Was this an idea that Moses and Elijah came up with? No. It all came from God. It was the gracious plan of God for His chosen people, chosen purely out of His grace, nothing which they deserved. What a wonderful blessing that God gave as He delivered them from His own righteous judgment. By His grace, He passed over them. As Israel for generations were to ask about this meal and why they celebrated it every year, the children would be curious. Why, Lord, are we celebrating this meal? Do you suppose your children are curious tonight why you've come here on a Thursday night? We have church tomorrow, and we have two more services to celebrate on Sunday, too. Why tonight, on a Thursday, do we come to worship? What a teaching moment that is. What a teaching moment that is to be able to tell them, this is how God delivers us from His righteous judgment. By His grace, He passes over us to fill us up with His humility, with His own flesh, giving us His body and blood to eat and to drink in this sacrament. It's interesting to note the response from the people of Israel on this night. It seems to be a rare occurrence as you look at the rest of the history of the Israelites. When they heard these words, the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites went and did all this. They did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. They worshiped the Lord. They worshiped the Lord because He was going to pass over them. He was not going to strike them down. Notice it hadn't happened yet. And yet they acted as if it had. Because they trusted in the Lord and did exactly what He said. When God gives us commands, may we have such a response to enjoy. Enjoy in the wonderful deliverance that He has promised to us. Being spared, God passing over us in His humility and weakness to not punish us as we deserve for our sins, may we fall down and worship, and then gladly and joyfully do everything that He commands us to do. When we think about this Passover, this first time in the 10th plague in Egypt, we often think that God was delivering Israel from slavery in Egypt, some kind of existence there in Egypt that God was rescuing them from. And that's what everybody thinks when they think of the plagues and thinks about that exodus from Egypt. But the Passover is not simply a remembrance of deliverance from salvation from Egypt. The Passover was deliverance and salvation from the Lord Himself. From the Lord Himself who punishes for sin. Because here is the truth. The truth is Israel deserved to die from the angel of death just as much as all of those people in Egypt deserved to die. The sins of Egypt were no greater than the sins of Israel, and for that, blood needed to be shed. Blood needed to be shed also for Israel's rebellion and Israel's sinfulness in God's presence too. But that's why God connected that important element to this Passover meal. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is how God passes over you. Listen again to these words. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take lambs for yourselves according to your family size and slaughter the Passover lamb. You shall take a bundle of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and paint the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you are to go out of the door of your house until morning, when the Lord passes through to strike Egypt and sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts. The Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. He spared our houses. Why? What was different? What was different about us? Was it we were righteous and holy and perfect? Was it that we were good and worthy? No, it was the blood of the Lamb. It was the blood of the Lamb that the destroyer would see and would pass over. He spared our houses in his gracious plan, spared us. One commentator spoke of it like this: there would be no safety anywhere except behind the blood-stained door. No safety anywhere except behind the blood-stained door. What a picture for those Israelites then, as they celebrated that year after year. Yes, remembering how God led them out of Egypt, but so much more he had for them. He said, when I bring you to that promised land that I have given you, when you are still alive and safe, then you remember it's through the blood of the Lamb that you are alive and spared. The blood of the Lamb, remembered every year at the Passover, didn't save Israel from Egypt. The blood of the Lamb, remembered every year at the Passover, saved Israel from the righteous judgment of the Lord. And those Israelites were able to see year in and year out as they commemorated that meal, sacrificing a lamb again and again each year, this festival of the Passover, see how God delivered them from his righteous judgment of death. They did not die because of the blood of the Lamb. What a beautiful connection God has made for you too. By taking the context of this meal, that Jesus with his disciples were there to celebrate on that night of Maundy Thursday, to celebrate and again sacrifice a Passover lamb and paint the blood on the door frames and on the lintels, the cross beams of the houses, to remember how there is nowhere safe except behind that blood-stained door. And then what did Jesus do that night? He took the wine and he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for you. And he took the bread and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do you hear those words? For you? They imply that it was your death that was deserved. It was your destruction that was coming from God. But he did it for you. And what was shed and what was given? It was his blood, not yours. It was his body broken, not yours. You see God's covenant? His most blessed, his most beautiful promise to you on this night. You do not die, because through the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, God spares you from his just judgment of death. That is a deliverance to commemorate. God saved you from your sins. God spared you from his judgment. Now think about that tonight. In the midst of all of the trials that you face today and every day in your life, will you go on struggling? Yes, you will. Against sinful temptations? Yes, they'll be with you when you leave this house tonight. Will you struggle with addictions? Will you struggle in your homes with family? Will you struggle in your jobs, perhaps wondering if you'll have one for much longer? Will you struggle with finances to make ends meet? Yes, all of these things you face. But as you go home tonight, you go home knowing that your relationship with your Savior Jesus is right. Through the blood of the Lamb, you do not die. Through the blood of the Lamb, you have been spared from death. And you have been made holy and perfect by that blood of the Lamb. And as you do, all of those troubles, all of those trials, you face as a redeemed, restored, reconciled child of God. And so you face them. And you face them as a Christian, following after that loving Savior God in the path that he wills for your life, doing everything that he commands you to do. There was not a house where there was not someone dead. That's truly terrifying. Who will protect you from that destroyer? Who will cover you when the Lord passes through to strike you? All of this death, all of this destruction happened on that night. And it happened in one night in every home. What a terrifying thought. But not for Israel. Israel was protected. They were protected by God himself. They were delivered from God's righteous judgment. By his grace, he passed over them, and by the blood of the Lamb, they were spared from death. Friends, God delivers you too. He passes over you in his grace as he humbled himself to the point of death for your sins. And he delivered you from his righteous judgment through the blood of the Lamb. And we remember there is no safe place except behind that blood-stained door. But behind the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, we are safe with him. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.